You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Small and Macro Cap News on the 2nd of December, 2025. Last time I spoke to you was in November. Sorry, I couldn't do a podcast yesterday. I travelled to Wales for a funeral, then travelled back. By the time I got back, I was a bit tired, a bit late. I thought, oh, I'll do one tomorrow. Do you know what's quite interesting? You know, the Bitcoin has been selling off. And they said, you know, for a while I've been thinking, is that the canary in the coal mine for these markets? Because there's a lot of, you know, crossover now. A lot of, before, you know, go back, what, 5-10 years maybe, Bitcoin, people would stay in their own lane. You know, crypto investors, some had a bit of equity, but now it's, you know, it's more mass adoption. Of course, there's all these ETFs and all that stuff. There's a lot of people who play in Bitcoin. And of course, when you have one holding that's been told it's going to $1 million a coin, which it could do, you never know, you know, people tend to over-leverage to it. And like I said, there's a lot of leverage in Bitcoin. And in fact, Michael Saylor, who's the biggest corporate holder and is the biggest evangelist of Bitcoin out there, he released news or presentation yesterday on raising money and buying more Bitcoin. And I read it through the presentation. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it at all. Now, I'm not a math genius. I'm not an accountant. But I've been working, you know, investing for quite a while, over 20 years. And I thought, what the heck? This is so complex, the leverage he set up. So I saw Peter Schiff, who's a great sort of, you know, a critic of Saylor and Bitcoin. And he said, so basically Strategy's new business, that's Michael Saylor's company, which is ostensibly a software company, but that's not doing very well. So just, it's a Bitcoin, it's the first Bitcoin treasury company, Strategy. He said, so Strategy's new business model is to sell stock to raise cash, then use that cash to buy treasuries that yield about 4% to fund the issuance of debt and preferred stock at a cost of 8 to 10%. How much longer will investors pretend this is a viable business just to gamble on Bitcoin? Yeah, I know, I've said it a while, it's done well, but these Bitcoin treasury companies, if you want to hold Bitcoin, hold them yourself, you know? Don't go leverage. Don't go a complicated model like that. You're paying for Bitcoin through a treasury company. You're paying for these complex sort of setups, leverage, operational costs, listing costs, everything that you don't need just by being Bitcoin. I'm sure, you know, if you buy Bitcoin on what, Coinbase, what is it, £6? I don't know. Per deal? I don't know. So that's the only cost attached with it, apart from capital upside and downside. You don't need all the rest of it. And I read his other posts. This guy is worth following. I've just gone through some of his tweets on, of course, X, or posts on X. Doesn't work, does it, X? Just doesn't work. Just want, you know, Elon wants to brand it everything X, like SpaceX and all that, but it doesn't work. Twitter, tweeting is a lot easier. Anyway, Shananka Aslam Pereira, or Shananka 86, he's posted this. The confession. For 5 years, Michael Saylor preached one gospel. You do not sell Bitcoin. 650,000 coins, $56 billion, the largest corporate holder on earth. Yesterday, both Saylor and the CEO, Phong Le, admitted they will sell. What does that say then? He was the one, wasn't he? He's a man in the middle of HODL. Don't sell your Bitcoin. Hold on to it. It's worth more than you ever should imagine. But they will sell. In Saylor's words, we will do that because that's in the best interest of shareholders. This is a good quote here. The religion has a liquidation clause. The math that breaks the faith. So the market cap today, it has risen a bit today, but the market cap of Strategy was 49.26 billion. Bitcoin holdings today for the company, 55.9 billion. Strategy is already worth less than the Bitcoin it holds. So the first trigger condition for forced sales has been met. They've got 8.2 billion in debt, 800 million in annual preferred dividends, a software business hemorrhaging cash. Their emergency response, 1.44 billion in reserves from stock sales. That buys them 21 months, apparently. What happens in month 22? But Shananka says the countdown nobody is watching. On January the 15th, MSCI decides whether to expel Strategy from global indices. JP Morgan estimates forced institutional selling between $2.8 billion and $8.8 billion if removal proceeds. So it's 44 days until a verdict. The smart money has already left. Q3 2025 SEC filings show BlackRock, Vanguard, JP Morgan, Capital International liquidated $5.3 billion in Strategy shares. They did not wait for the announcement. They read the covenants documents. The revelation? Conviction was never the product. Leverage was. When the architect of Never Sell publicly prices the conditions under which he will sell, the architecture was always temporary. The temple had an exit door the entire time. It was simply never shown to the congregation. Bitcoin does not need Strategy to survive. The question is whether Strategy can survive Bitcoin. 44 days and counting. That's clever writing, isn't it? That's a heck of a lot of research and clever writing. So essentially, if Strategy is expelled from the indices, of course, there's forced selling going on. There's some big selling going on already. Maybe there won't be any more. But that then will take the market cap down below Bitcoin treasury value that it holds, which will force selling. And like you said, when the biggest seller in the market stops buying anymore, starts selling, there's a little bit of worry there. There's been a wobble in the markets last week, wasn't it? It's sort of back on track today. A lot of green on the screen from individual. Yesterday was dreadful, my stocks. But today, you know, a lot of them up. I'm thinking, what is this market? I do think we're on a move higher in the UK. Now, hopefully, interest rates coming down. I hope the noise around the budget doesn't, you know, deter what the Bank of England do, what their job is supposed to be, is to reduce interest rates, because that will help the markets, you know. And of course, you've got Trump's man coming in next year, which you can't not be voted in by Trump as the Fed head and not reduce interest rates. So it will help a lot. So I think even though we have some volatile times in the markets now again, up and down, you've got to think the trajectory for interest rates is coming down. And if you look at any chart and you know, plot interest rates against the markets, when it's inverse relationship, you know, when the interest rates come down, markets rally, especially small micro nano caps. They're very sensitive to that. And like I say, there's been sort of net selling for so long now through funds for small micro caps that a small turnaround in the volume from net selling to net buying will push them up a lot higher. So, you know, if you're questioning the daily sort of volatility in stocks, try not to. I know it's frustrating sometimes to see stocks just go nowhere for a while. Even the good, I've seen lots of companies just in a range at the moment, you know, going towards the bottom of the range and go back up, then go to the bottom of the range. It's so frustrating. There's three basic states to a chart. There's uptrend, ranges, downtrends. You get ranges, you know, at the top for sort of end of an uptrend, Maybe consolidation go higher or maybe go lower. And then you obviously get ranges, of course, in the bottom of a downtrend. Maybe consolidations go higher or consolidation they go lower. But I've seen a lot of companies on the charts. I look at probably 100 charts a day, probably. And there's so many companies just in a range, and it's very frustrating. So, but if they're good fundamentally, you know, it's almost like I can see why people sell, you know, because it gets so frustrating. It's going nowhere. I've had companies now sitting on for a couple of years and they've gone nowhere. But I'm thinking, I can't sell it because they've got growth, they've got value. In the end, they will go higher. What am I going to do? Just sell it and sit in cash? Or I've got enough cash sitting there in my portfolio. I don't want more cash. I mean, I've been tempted, and I have bought some more, you know, over time, last couple of years, more dividend-paying stocks and a dividend fund. Because, you know, if I'm going to sit there, might as well earn some money. And in fact, I haven't gone big on companies not paying a dividend, because you just sit there for a while with, you know, it's inefficient allocation of capital, isn't it? Just sitting there thinking, well, it just goes up and down for a while. I might as well get a dividend payment from it. So, but it is frustrating. But I think we are now, next couple of interest rate reductions should push the markets higher. The odd thing is, though, is that I don't think, can the S&P go higher? They're already on a very high multiple. So I think what you'll see is a rotation, I think, from the big caps into small micro-cap stocks like the Russell 2000, which is starting to move. It does roll over the last couple of days. But I think that's the theme. The theme is small micro-cap stocks is going to be the theme of 2026. Fingers crossed. Okay, well, let's look at the markets. Let's just get it alphabetically here. FTSE 100 is up 0.13% to 9715. The S&P, well, Stock 600, I should say, up exactly the same, 1.3 to 576. S&P 500 at the moment is up 0.25%, 6830. The FTSE small cap, it's pretty flat, 7373. Russell 2000, up 0.25%, 2474. Not far off all-time highs. The FTSE 250, in fact, is that all-time highs? No. Oh, yeah, it is. Not far from all-time highs. FTSE 250, down at 31%. Of course, it's more domestically focused than the UK 100. NASDAQ, up 1% to 23,509. Again, close to an all-time high. What else have we got? The FTSE All-Wool Index is up 0.4% to 662. The AIM All Share, down just shy of 1%. What's the big fall of there, then? Maybe we'll look on the... maybe the big company is falling on the AIM All Share, is it? Let's have a look. AIM All Share. No, there's Pantheon Resources down. There's Thor Energy down 15%. Oxford Biodynamics. Any big? There's too many big companies there falling. But no, I can't see anything. What else is there? As at commodities, Brent crude $62.29 a barrel. It's in this. Grindingly lower downtrend. But of course, OPEC are now not going to increase output for next year, so maybe that'll have a positive effect there. We don't want to go too high, though, oil, because it affects inflation, of course. Gold, it's rolling over a little bit, 1.62% down, $4,205 an ounce. And copper, $5.25 a pound. That's down just shy of 1%, 0.92%. Bitcoin, it is rallying there. We have this bounce going on. You know, it did dip down to $80,000. It's up to $90,000 a day. But like I said, it did get a bit higher than that over the weekend. But it's running down. So it may have to go sideways for a while, Bitcoin. Who knows? Oh, Dow Jones, I always forget that. It's D. It's up at the top of the list. It's up 0.4%, $47,459. Dollar index, flat, 99.47. Government bond yield, the two-year yield for the UK government bond is at 3.746%. That's down a 31%. The 10-year is pretty much flat, 4.478% yield. And the 30-year is at 5.25, pretty much flat as well. A pound will buy you €1.13. It'll buy you $1.31. Okay, let's look at the macro cap league. These are companies that are profitable if it's not profitable, I mention it. If I do mention it, it's probably because it's going to be profitable next year. In fact, there's one here I want to mention that they suggest to be profitable next year. It could be a good recovery play. Let's have a look. Let's go with... let's go with a tough one because it's a sector read across. Michelmersh? In fact, yes, I'll do Michelmersh. MBH, ticker. It's a business with seven market-leading brands. These are bricks we're talking about. It's funny, isn't it? But you can get, I suppose, why not? But I didn't realise you can get, you know, leading brick brands. You know, people say, oh, I want that brick. That's a cracking brick, that is. Good quality brick. I wouldn't be seen with any other brick apart from that brick. Blockley's, Carlton, Fabspeed, Freshfield Lane, Michelmersh, Florence B, and Hathen Terracotta. I've got to say, it's quite niche, that, isn't it? I've not heard of any of those brands. Anyway, Michelmersh, of course, make those bricks. So it's very dependent on interest rates and the housing sector and construction, of course. But at 82 pence a share, they are 74 million market cap and 68 million enterprise value. Did they release their... What was the news today? Was it a pre-close trading update? It was. And what did they say? They said that there's been a notable slowdown in construction market and activity levels in the final quarter, as has been widely reported. These activity levels have been impacted by a challenging macroeconomic outlook and the uncertainty of the UK budget policy announcements, which have adversely impacted both consumer sentiment and investment decision-making across the sector. I was hoping to avoid any mention of Rachel Reeves, you know, Robot Reeves, in this podcast, but you can't, can you? You realise... Just, you know, just even that decision to delay the budget has a negative effect on businesses. And she's there, you know, enable business, help business. And I said, she's not doing any of that, is she? Honestly, I could scratch my head till it bleeds. Brokers have slightly downgraded 2025 numbers. They're showing now top line growth of 69 million, down 2%, and net profit down 7% to 5.7 million. That would be a PE ratio of pretty much 13, EV earnings of 12. They're expected to see growth for 2026 return with a 9% top line growth to 74.9 million and net profit growth of 30% to 7.4 million. But on a PE of 10, EV earnings of 9. So, if rates do come down, it's worth watching, along with other companies in the housing sector. But, you know, I think this now is presenting, if they can hit those numbers in 26, that seems like good value, doesn't it? In a PE of 9, 10, and even go out to 27, it gets even better, PE of 9. So it's maybe, you know, if you don't have a house builder, I wouldn't go too mad in the construction area. But, you know, if you haven't got a house builder or you're not exposed to the housing sector, I would say it's probably wise looking out. I'm talking about, you know, an investment horizon 2-3 years here, because, of course, it'll slowly start to pick up as interest rates come down. And then it could be on a bit of a, you know, cyclical bull run for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And so, you know, a good quality construction exposed company is worth having, I think. On the beach. So... what was the announcement today? It was final results, OTB. One of the UK's largest online package holiday specialists with significant opportunities for growth, founded by Simon Cooper in 2004. We all know what On The Beach is. In fact, they did rise, Dave. What's the share price now? OTB, I think they're about 19%, weren't they? Because they had a bit of a big sell-off. The last, yeah, since July... it's come down from £3 a share and recently hit £1.85 a share. Now it's £2.14. So it has risen by 11% today. So maybe a bounce off the bottom here. Okay, full year results. 2025, this was revenue up 2%, 121.4 million. Profit for tax was up 11% to 27.9 million. Net profit, though, was down 34% to 8.6. I'll explain that in a bit. Net cash down 5% to 91.7 million. Free cash flow up 43% to 34.8 million. Net profit decreased due to an impairment resulting from them discounting their B2B business. Like I said, profit for tax was up. They said we have recognised a loss on discontinued operations of 16 million. This includes impairment of 8.3 million of goodwill and intangibles previously attributed to the classic collection segment, as well as redundancy costs, onerous contract provisions, and the loss for the period. So, yeah, that B2B business is gone now. So it's just the one we see advertised on TV, pretty much. But forecasts, I'll have to update this because I haven't got actually access. They do an adjusted version on the website. But again, the adjustments are quite generous. But it's looking like for the next year, top line growth of 19%, 144.3 million. And net profit growth of 74%, 15 million. Of course, that's an increase because of that one-off loss from that discontinuing of their B2B business. And that puts them on a PE of 21, EV earnings of 15. And then for 2027, expect to be 12% top line growth, 161.5 million. And bottom line growth of 11% to 16.6 million. And that puts them on a PE of 19, EV earnings of 13. So it did say in the outlook there's the 16% financial year total transaction value, year-to-date bookings growth of 14%, and winter 25-26 forward bookings are 15% year-on-year. Summer momentum for 26 is building. There's been a lot of complaints, hasn't there, from holiday bookers and all that stuff in their space. So the people are taking the time to book. I think that was Rachel Reeves as well. So they're waiting to last minute now a little bit more. So I don't think people are booking any holidays because just the budget was all over the papers, over the news, wasn't it? The rumours, what's happening. I just think the uncertainty. So people said, well, let's wait a little bit until the budget, then we'll book, or we'll buy a house, or whatever. Let's just wait to see what happens. So I think that's happened a lot. But I think it could rally. It's a bit of a sell-off, isn't it? OTB. So decent business, but I go with one more. In fact, Top Style. There's a two. I talked about the construction area. This is a company, another company sort of exposed to that. Severfield, SFR's ticker, is the UK's market leader in design, fabrication and construction of structural steel, with a total capacity of 150,000 tonnes of steel per annum. The company has 7 sites, 1,800 employees and expertise in large, complex projects across a broad range of sectors. So there we are. So at 29 pence a share, they have a market cap of 85 million, enterprise value of 128 million. So they have got debt of, what was these results? Several interim results these were. So the debt, in fact, it's come down from the end of the year, but it is up on last half year. So let's scroll down. So this is a company that is loss-making at the moment on the current financial year, in fact, the last financial year, but they are expected to turn a profit for the full year of 2026 and do better 27-28. So H1 2026 financial highlights: revenue down 18%, 206 million, net loss of 5.6 million, which is down 31%, net debt of 21.8 million, which is up 192% in H1 last year. Free cash flow of 26 million, up 579%. It's been a tough time for them, as the results show. In fact, if you look at the chart, you see the gap downs on the chart where they've issued 2 profit warnings in November 24 and Feb 25. They've also suspended their dividend, which was good because it was quite chunky. This is a potential recovery play, and if the forecasts are to be believed, there could be some upside here. So growth is expected in 2027, which starts, by the way, the financial year starts in April 26, that's the financial year of 27, with double-digit top-line growth, that's 10%. In fact, for 26, they expect to see 450 million top-line flat and 4.4 million profit, net profit, which is 19 PE. But for 2027, which obviously starts in April next year, 10% top line growth to 497 million, 130% bottom line growth to 10.1 million. That'll be a PE of 8, EV earnings of 13. and it continues to improve. So again, one of the, another one of those sort of recovery plays that could be happening. Let's look at one more. Tops Tiles. So of course, they are the UK's leading specialist supplier of tiles and associated products, targeting UK domestic and commercial markets and serving homeowners. Now, this is quite impressive. I mean, they had a rally. I did mention this before, that they were doing quite well considering where they are at. But it hasn't really rallied that crazy. I mean, the bottom is, 32 pence. It's now at 42 pence. But I think this is worth a watch, because if they are doing well in this environment, then you imagine where interest come down and people start, the houses and all that, and more houses are sold and Tops Tiles sell more tiles, basically. Could do very well. But 42 pence a share, they got a market cap of 82 million, enterprise value of 75. And these are, annual results here, Tops Tiles, okay? For the year ended the 30th of September, 2025. Let's scroll down. Revenue up 17% to 295.7 million. Net profit of 6 million versus a 12.8 million loss. Net cash of 7.4 million is down 14%. But let's have a look at that. Net cash. Yeah, down 14% from 8.6. And free cash flow up 76% to 19 million. Decent results against a tough background. They also have a strong balance sheet and pay a chunky dividend. However, they do state sales growth over the first 9 weeks of the new financial year have moderated due to weaker consumer confidence. Again, what's that down to? Robot Reeves. Of course, this could be temporary, down to uncertainty in the budget. But for 2026, I'm waiting a new broker note, really, because these were from a previous update. But they still hold for 2026, of course, if that's the case, unless they've changed it. So 2026, 5% top-line growth to 309.8 million. 55 cent net profit growth puts them on a PE of 9, EV earnings of eight. Sorry, EV earnings of 8. So I know what you're thinking. How could they be doing well? It's almost like one of these things, isn't it? You just got to trust the figures a little bit and thinking, how could they be doing well? Everyone else in the building construction sector is not doing well. But Tops, of course, they've had this self-help program. I think the new CEO came in a while back. And like I said, if the share price hangs around here, this level, then for 2027, again, 6% top-line growth to 327.3 million and 24% net profit growth to 11.5 million. That's a PE of 7. I just think that's a decent valuation for this company. Of course, they're never going to have massive margins, but nevertheless, it can only get better, can't it, with interest rates coming down and the housing sector perking up a bit. So Tops, on the chart, it's broken up, it's hit a recent high, some resistance of 43 pence. May have to go sideways down a little bit. But I think it's worth a watch. Decent turnout. They're really good, considering where we are at the moment. I'm going to put an alert in this if it comes back down to 40 pence. I never normally do that on prices, on moving averages. But worth a watch, then. TPT, Tops Tiles. Okay, that's it for today. Thank you for listening. And don't forget, if you are listening and you like the content, then you can get a lot more of this at sharepickers.com. I'm only sort of covering 5% of the information on these companies that's on the website. And you can get all that for £2.88 a week. If you're listening for free and spare me a bit of time and want to pay back some value, by all means, if you could, I would be, tell me. I'll give you a shout out. If whatever name you want to use, whatever you want me to say, I'll say it out. If you give me a review, then I'll give you a shout out. Just go to the podcast platform of your choice, give me a 5-star rating and review, and I'll give you a nice shout out. If it's your birthday, happy Christmas, whatever. If someone's birthday, I'll give you a nice loud shout out. Thanks for listening. Much is appreciated. Speak you tomorrow. Sorry, I thought it was Friday then. That's good. That's this. This week has gone quickly. Yeah, it's Wednesday tomorrow. It's weekly. I won't be doing a webinar tomorrow because it's Wednesday weekly webinar night for the Sharepickers Investment Club. If you join today, you can catch that tomorrow. And in fact, all the webinars are online from as long back as we started, I think. sharepickers.com. Thanks for listening. Speak to you tomorrow. Muchos. Appreciate it.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.